And this is part three of our series on debt.
Yes, I do worry about the amount of debt that I do have.
When you sign up for a mortgage of $400,000, it has a tendency to make you a little nervous.
Sometimes I'm tempted, but the other side of the coin is too scary to contemplate.
If you don't got a good credit history, you don't get a job, even if you qualify.
Terry Jones, Kyle Carruthers, Richard Ecker, and Claudia Graves. Like most Americans, they're very aware of the potential consequences of debt.
Bad credit can make it hard to get a mortgage or a credit card. And these days, yes, it also might stop you from getting a job. Thousands of companies across the country are running credit checks on job applicants, they say, as a way to judge their character and reliability. NPR's Chris Arnold reports.
With unemployment on the rise, things are busy at JobNet in downtown Boston. Every day, dozens of people come here to work on resumes, check the job boards, and take job search seminars. Beverly Mills is the career resource librarian. She says these days some employers are running credit checks on job applicants, and she's been asking the job seekers here what they think about employers doing that.
Well, the response was it's none of their business. That was the number one response. Employers, or whoever's looking at your credit history, can make a judgment about you.
People who do background checks say over the past decade, with credit reports cheap and easy to get online, more companies are checking job applicants' credit. Grocery stores, insurance companies, and retail stores are doing it. Good numbers are hard to come by, but according to a survey several years ago by the Society for Human Resource Management, 35% of executives said their firm runs credit checks on at least some job applicants. 8% run credit checks on all applicants. Many firms run criminal background checks too, but some employers feel a credit check can give them a valuable window into a person's life.
To us, it tells us what is their level of responsibility. There's not much if they can't even pay their bills on time. There's an integrity question. There's an honesty question here.
Michelle Dobis is an assistant vice president of Fidelity Federal Bank and Trust in Florida. She says her bank has for a long time run credit checks on upper-level executives and lower-level workers who handle money. Dobis says the bank has hired people with bad credit when it's due to a nasty divorce or expensive health care problems. But she says if the applicant's finances are just out of control, that's a strike against them.
We don't want to take the risk of them helping themselves to a little bit out of the cash drawer because they're in trouble with their finances. And it does happen. It's our job to protect the bank from any possible loss.
But some people suspect they've unfairly lost out on jobs because of their credit.
Tell me, this happened 3 years ago at Macy's.
Marvin Watkins has worked as a sales manager at various retail stores. He says he himself has conducted hundreds of interviews, and he remembers when he applied for a job at Macy's in Boston. By the end of his second interview, he got the impression that he was going to get the job.
It was pretty much a lock. You know, we need you to come in. They offered me children's department, to, you know, which was like a mess, and I would have a small staff working for me. And so I was like, okay, fine, I'll take it. And then he said, okay, well, we just have to run some more, you know, check your paperwork out, make sure everything's accurate. I'm going to run a credit check.
To his surprise, Watkins says he never heard back from Macy's. He thought his credit was okay, so he didn't give it much thought. But a couple of years later, when he got a job at, of all places, a debt collection company, he ran a credit check on himself. Back in 1989, Watkins says he'd owed a small amount of child support to his ex-wife, and she'd reported it. Since then, he'd been paying it, but he says a gross error on his credit report showed he owed $40,000. In child support payments.
So I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, I got to want the $40,000? Now I wound up on a billboard at the post office, for Christ's sake, and it's not true.
One of the major objections that privacy rights advocates have with employers basing hiring decisions on credit reports is that they say they're often inaccurate. Watkins says there's no way to know for sure, but he now thinks he got turned down for jobs at Macy's and other stores because he looked like a serious deadbeat dad on his credit report. But if that was the case, none of them told him that.
And that's the thing that, you know, I've never received a return phone call communication was just severed. Bang.
If that happened and the credit report was a factor, it's illegal. Federal law requires that an employer notify a job applicant if a credit report was part of the reason for them being turned down. The employer also has to provide the applicant with a copy of their credit report. Ed Mrzwinski is a director of the U.S. Public Interest Research Group.
In the early 1990s, the Federal Trade Commission went after a number of employers for violating the law. Macy's was one of them.
Back then, Macy's settled the charges and admitted no wrongdoing. A Macy's spokeswoman says the company complies with the law. Congress has since strengthened job applicants' rights with regard to credit reports, but Mrzwinski says most people don't know their rights, and in recent years, employers have not been held accountable. Mrzwinski says the best thing job applicants can do is to periodically check their own credit reports to make sure they're accurate. Also, if you look at your credit report, you'll be able to see whether an employer has been checking your credit. That gets reported there, too. Chris Arnold, NPR News, Boston.
Credit reports, monthly credit card bills, we are awash in facts and figures about debt. But just in case, here's a few more. According to the Federal Reserve, about 75% of American households owe money, totaling about $1.7 trillion.
The average household owes about $8,000 on credit cards. The median amount owed on a home mortgage is about $30,000. The typical American family spends about 12% of its disposable income paying interest on its debts. That's down slightly from previous years.
But bankruptcy filings are up. 1.5 million Americans filed for protection from creditors during the last year.
For more on how we borrow, we turn again to Robert Manning. He's a professor of humanities at Rochester Institute of Technology and author of Credit Card Nation. He says over the last 10 years, debt in America has gone through a major transformation.
What we've seen is the shift from installment borrowing, where you had to have an asset and you had to prove that you could repay it over a certain period of time, to now the most profitable loans, which are called revolving loans, like credit cards. So typically, you would never have seen loans to senior citizens or to the working poor. And in fact, the sharpest increase in revolving debt in the last 15 to 20 years is among the working poor households, people that make $15,000 or less, as well as the marketing of credit and debt to people over 65. Those are really the last frontiers for the financial services industry.
What about like check cashing or payday loans, those kinds of credit?
One of the really striking things in the last 15 years has been that in poor neighborhoods and even poor suburban communities, banks have begun to withdraw their traditional branches and replace them with what we call the second-tier financial services, the cash checkers, the payday lenders, the rent-to-own stores. And what's extraordinary is that they've essentially redefined what is a loan. So a cash advance isn't considered a loan, and that's why they can offer a 30% interest rate for just 2 weeks' loans. That's over 800% in terms of an annual interest rate for payday lending.
What are the consequences of that kind of lending?
Well, when people are paying interest rates of 15 to 30% for 15 days, they're going to have to roll these loans over. They're only paying the interest. They're essentially only paying these exorbitant interest rates for the privilege of continuing to pay them. We're seeing real crises in this area where people who are so desperate for credit and they don't understand what the total cost is that they end up losing every asset they have.
America's about to go through a major demographic shift. The baby boom generation's about to retire. How does that generation's attitude toward debt differ from the generation before, from their parents' generation?
What's striking about this generation that either has a direct or indirect relationship to the Great Depression is they see debt as essentially their report card of their life. If they're in debt, it's viewed as a form of social shame. And if we look at attitudes towards credit cards, for example, people over 65 are more than twice as likely to pay off their credit cards at the end of the month than somebody who's under 35.
What about the baby boomers?
Well, they're the ones that we really have some major public policy issues to deal with, because for the first time, we're looking at people who are aging into debt and for the first time going into retirement instead of with a nest egg, with actually substantial financial obligations.
Do you think our attitude toward debt has changed so much that that many people now never really expect to pay off their debt completely? There's just an expectation that they're not going to pay off their debts?
Well, it's very clear that there are people who cannot see their lives without dependence on credit and always paying for past debts, to the point now that abroad, people refer to this lifestyle as American-style debt, and that this is viewed as giving up a lot of personal individual freedoms, and that this is a role that peoples in other countries do not want to pursue. So there's a sense that Americans are increasingly chained to their debts and don't understand or feel responsible to pay them off by the end of their life course.
Thanks very much, Professor Manning.
Thank you.
Robert Manning is author of Credit Card Nation and a professor of humanities at Rochester Institute of Technology.
I often hear money experts bemoan the rising levels of consumer indebtedness.
Commentator Jerry Willis.
Although CDs, DVDs, and SUVs have added up to one whopping big bill. To the experts, such loose purse strings are evidence of a moral failing in the American character. You can hear a tone creeping into their voice that would make Judge Judy proud. Don't bet against the consumer, one pundit laughs as he talks about their propensity to spend. If there were footnotes, they'd read something like this. American consumers are a silly bunch who'd rather spend their last dime than deny themselves the pleasures of the moment. This wouldn't grate so much if I didn't know that these MBAs and PhDs were actually talking about you and me. Take my extended family. Over the past 18 months, we've bought one house, three cars, okay, two of them were SUVs, and two video game machines. You know, it's like Pogo said, we've met the enemy and he is us. But I have to tell you, we didn't spend because we couldn't control our gluttonous impulses. Well, except maybe for the video games. I'd argue that our spending, and that of most folks, highlights two of my most favorite features of the American character. First off, we're practical. Don't forget that consumers are loading up on debt at precisely the time that interest rates have struck 30-year lows. In other words, money is cheap. But there's yet another reason that I think our propensity to borrow is not such a terrible thing. Borrowing is evidence of our fundamental optimism. Sure, the economy's not what it should be, but we believe in our souls that things are going to get better. Jobs will be available, opportunity will knock, the Red Sox can win a World Series. Without that optimism, there is no capitalism. There is no market economy. And there sure as heck won't be a way for me to pay off my new Xbox.
Commentator Jerry Willis is a senior correspondent at Smart Money magazine.